CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Jamaica continues bracing itself for Hurricane Melissa. The slow-moving Category 5 storm is expected to arrive sometime overnight. Jamaica's Minister of Labor and Social Security, Purnell Charles Jr., tells ABC's Marcus Moore.
The Prime Minister has also declared evacuation orders, which means it's not a suggestion, it is a directive to save your life, to remove yourself from communities that are extremely vulnerable.
In California, a San Bernardino County sheriff's deputy was killed and a dramatic motorcycle chase resulted in a major crash on the 210 freeway today after officers responded to a domestic violence call. Deputy Andrew Nunez died at the scene after being shot once in the head. The suspect later taken into custody, according to Sheriff Shannon Dykus.
The suspect left the area on a motorcycle and subsequently was pursued by our deputy sheriffs with aerial support overhead.
This is ABC News. After a chorus of complaints, GoFundMe has made major changes to how they label their nonprofit fundraisers.
When the Friends of the San Bruno Public Library in California started receiving donations through GoFundMe,
we weren't sure what was going on.
The treasurer is Dave Dornlos.
It's something that we did not set up.
On its own, GoFundMe had created the page on behalf of that group, along with 1.4 million others. The Friends of the Library was told it could opt out of that program.
I'm a believer in opt-in, not opt-out.
That's exactly what GoFundMe will now do with its nonprofit pages. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
After nearly a month-long pause as a result of President Trump's spending bill, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says they were able to resume scheduling abortions today after they removed their designation as an essential community provider. According to the organization's leaders, dropping this designation will not change the cost of services for patients nor affect the organization's funding moving forward. Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
The Packers defeat the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers came back in the second half to win 35-25 over the Steelers. Wide receiver Christian Watson had four catches for 85 yards in his first game back after suffering a torn ACL in January. The defense sacked Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers three times. Micah Parsons.
Guys made plays when we had to make plays, which was huge, and we need that. We need that every week. It's great to have Christian back, honestly, and just everyone else just coming in. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the guys. Everyone who felt like they was having a bad game, like, we just rallied around each other.
NBA, the Bucks suffered their first loss of the season, 118-113 in Cleveland to the Cavaliers.
You know, it's so funny. We shoot the ball so well. I just thought we missed shots we made. And then the fouls, I thought, were the difference in the game.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrases praised words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky for tonight and a low in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a slight shower chance, highs in the mid-50s. Then we're back into sunshine on Wednesday, highs again in the mid-50s. Dry through the rest of the work week. Right now it's 48.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, Wendy, thanks for coming on. We're going to have Dr. Stately on in a little bit. Let me see. Can you mute? There you go. That was my bad. Hey, we're going to have Dr. Stately on in a little bit. And I asked you to come on, and we're talking about some events that are happening. Mm-hmm. And I just want to buzz these through these first couple of events, and then let's talk about Southdale after that, if you don't care.
Go ahead.
So, hey, on November 1st, the gathering of our children and returning adoptees powwow is happening at American Indian Center November 1st. Grand entries at 1 o'clock. And if you're an adoptee or a birth mother, there's some things happening at 10 a.m. So come on early, and any family member, come on early. The powwow is grand entries at 1, and then the ceremony's at 3. It's a really, Wendy, it's really heavy duty.
Yeah, and this is a really important one for you, Robert.
Yeah.
The adoption powwow.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, being an adoptee, and Sandy Whitehawk has run this thing. This is the 19th, so next year's going to be the 20th.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a documentary on her called Blood Memory.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book, too. And so it's just amazing. And let me buzz through these other things, too, because we're partnering with Minneapolis Institute of Art, and on November 6th, we're having Rihanna Yazzie's film, Winter Love. And then November 23rd at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, we have Aja Walk's going to be there with his movie, Indian Horse, which was a real big movie. And it'll be great to see everyone there and watch the movie and ask questions afterwards with both Rihanna and Aja Walk. And then Smoke Signals on the 29th, and that's at 2 p.m. And again, Ajwak's movie, Indian Horse, is at 2 p.m. too. But Rihanna's, which is on the 6th, is going to be at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool is it's free.
That's amazing. At the Minneapolis Institute of Art.
Yeah, definitely.
Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What they, yeah, that's how they're branding their name, Mia, M-I-A, Mia.
So maybe we should be called Native.
Roots.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey, I want the big things happening right now. And I know we, over the years, we've had the market at Dayton's and
We are having the market this year at Dayton's. Yes.
Right.
Downtown Minneapolis.
And you've been a big part of that. I remember the first year we were there all night setting it up because we had the whole room.
Yeah.
People forget about that. We had the whole room and a lot of artists and it was awesome. And then now 5 years later, Mitch and her crew have expanded.
Hundreds of kiosks.
Yeah.
Really beautiful stuff at Dayton's downtown. That's, I don't know the dates, but it's, you know, it's like Thanksgiving through
It's the 20th, and I think theirs lasts a little longer than Southdale. I think it's a week after Christmas, so you can return those gifts from the vendors. But, hey, Wendy's going to have her art out at...
Yeah, this is the first time at Southdale Mall in Edina, November 20th through December 24th. So the art that I've been doing over the last... since 2022, you know, I'm getting prints made, canvas prints, different sizes. I'm getting, you know, smaller prints, 8x10s that are matted into 11x14s. We're going to have a lot of greeting cards that are actually the art that I've made. And most of the art that I have, not all of it, but most of it is sacred animals that I talk about. So, you know, it's the pig, the chicken, the sheep. Yeah. And the cow. I have a really beautiful horse that I'm really proud of that I worked on. A really interesting kind of abstract, kind of artsy bison that I worked on. I did some dabbling with pencil and watercolors, and those will also be, you know, frameable art that you could come on and buy. And it's going to be down there. And we're also going to have some Leech Lake wild rice also. And I'm going to
just... We run out every year.
I know. And I'm just going to say one thing, that each bag's 50 bags. I did my artwork on each bag by hand. And
it says... It's frameable.
And it says Leech Lake wild rice with a rice stalk. And underneath it says hand harvested, which it is. So we'll have that too. Southdale Mall, Edina, November 20th through December 24th. I'm excited. It's the first time. I'm kind of nervous too. Yeah. It's just like, you know.
Putting your art out there is kind of hard. It's kind of being naked.
Yeah, totally. I know art is so subjective, you know. It's just, you know, 500 people can walk by a piece of art and, you know, maybe one person would say, you know, I have to have that in my home. So it's it's really hard, you know, to sell stuff. But you know what? We're kind of doing it for the adventure, you know, not to, you know, definitely not going to get rich over this.
No.
What do they call this? The starving artist? That's the old saying, right? The starving artist.
That's why I'm still working, right?
Exactly, Robert. You have to keep working because I am a starving artist.
Exactly. Hey, Wendy, do you want to hang on for a couple minutes here?
Yeah.
We've got Dr. Stately in the bullpen here, and I know he's always got something to say. So let's got Dr. Stately from Native American Community Clinic on. Good to see you, Dr. Stately. Wendy's art is going to be on display. Ho-wah.
I know. I saw that. I heard that. I just took note. I put it in my calendar.
Yeah, and for sale. So yeah.
I'm gonna get one of those bags of rice.
Yes.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
I got one for you. Don't worry about that. Just drop it by with one of the reefs.
I was laughing. You could probably see me backstage. I was laughing when you were having the conversation about her being a starving artist. That's how you have to work.
That's not true. Though, well, as you know, Wendy was a pharmacist for many years, and I thought she was
the breadwinner.
She was. Now I have to pick it up. So it's like
you switch.
It's been a struggle.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So I got some rice for you, Dr.
You're like
Staten.
Arlene with your fire bread. Let's rip it in half.
Exactly. Yes. I don't know. Did you hear that we're doing some work? Native Roots Media is doing some work with Minneapolis Institute of Art, and we're having Ajawak's meeting there, and also Rihanna Yazzie's movie will be there. And what's really cool, and then they're going to show Smoke Signals too at the 29th of November.
That's fun.
So it's going to be fun.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, you have to publish all that information on your website. than you think.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going on Saturday to the mural, the opening of the High Lake mural. Do you know about that?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that.
Cool. The reason I know about it is because my niece Nichez was one of the artists that was involved in it. But I went there; she was finishing up, doing some finishing touches on it last Saturday, mm-hmm. I think. So I went and kind of hung out with her, and it's beautiful. It's breathtakingly beautiful. I was literally shocked. It was really beautiful. I remember seeing parts of it in her studio. She was doing like the AIM logo. The other things she had like showed me designs and drawings of, and I was like, oh, this is really lovely. But it's like a multi artist mural in the underpass on High Lake Street in Hiawatha, that interchange there.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly gorgeous. It's beautiful. I was like, so, not because she's my niece, but because I was just stunned at the beauty of the mural, and so proud of her too. Just because, my mother, her grandmother would have been really, really proud of her. So.
Well, it's amazing. Hey, Dr. Stately, we got to take a quick break. Wendy, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Across Native communities, tradition and connection guide every step. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, honors that spirit, helping generations come together to shape the future of Native communities. By learning from each other and sharing knowledge through trusted relationships, MVAT helps build trust and make sure Native voices are heard. Voting is more than a right. It's a way to protect the needs of your community and build the future you want. Vote together. Stand together. Learn more at makevotingatradition.org.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card, or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Dr. Stately, and Wendy's staying on, too. It's like the olden days when we all used to, when I forced Wendy to be on every day, Dr. Stately, and then we went to therapy.
I haven't seen Dr. Stately in a long time. I just want to sit back and listen to all the great stuff he has to always have, that he has to say.
That's easy for you to say.
Thank you. You're sweet. Thank you. It is like the olden days. Jeez.
Yeah. Except
it's covered wagons going all the way back.
Well, hey, let's talk about now. When is the open? There's an opening of her art, and let's finish up on that thought. And what day and what time?
It's a public viewing and kind of opening. Like I guess I don't know, but what would you call it? Like a just a ceremonial thing underneath the underpass. Lake Street in Hiawatha. Maybe I should probably do a better job of showing it. What's really cool is that's actually her daughter. That's a picture of her daughter that she
pulled. Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Yeah. Wow, that is cool. That is very cool. Well, Dr. Stately, you're well connected. You have a lot of good people, relatives here in the community. And, you know, I've had some of them as students, and we've seen some of them grow up and become firemen, fire people. It's amazing to watch this. And I guess that's part of getting old, the good part.
Yeah, my nephew Chaskay and his girlfriend Maddie just had their baby girl.
What?
Yesterday.
They did?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I got to send
congratulations.
Out.
Congratulations. What did they have?
A girl.
Oh, they had a baby girl. Yeah. Really, yeah. Haven't gotten a chance to see her yet, but they sent out announcements and pictures this morning. So.
Oh, I guess I don't, right? I'm gonna have to give Barry a hard time.
That's such a great blessing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get on Barry about that, but
I'll message him after the show and go, when, because I thought it was the 31st she was due, and I was like, when is Madison due?
Yeah, she was due at this party, but you know, baby has his own mind. That's right.
Oh, my God. We know that. We had 14, 15-month-old babies over here. Yeah. We had one of them today.
Today we had one today.
Yeah, nice. She was only like 4 days old, 4 days early.
Oh.
I was telling my nephew, Chaskay, I was like, I'm going to pray that she comes on October 3rd so she can be named like Anthony or Antonia. That was when I didn't know what the sex was. I like the name Anthony or Antonia. I mean, that's...
Oh, Antonia is pretty cool.
Yeah. I like what is her name, if you don't mind, or if you don't want to say it on the air, that's okay too. Maybe not.
Well, we don't have to say the last name.
He gave her a Dakota name, so gave her a Dakota name. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm gonna mess it up, I'm sure.
Oh.
But. What I love, he did tell me the name the other day, and he told me what it meant, and I forgot already. But this was like a week ago when I talked to him before the baby was born. Ichihape, Myrna Henry. So her middle name is Myrna, which is his grandmother's name.
Oh.
His grandmother's mother, so his great grandmother's name is Myrna.
Wow.
Myrna Zephyr, actually. So he's named after his great grandma, which is lovely and beautiful. She is gorgeous. I don't know if you can see the picture of her or not. She's
adorable.
Just to let everybody know too, we're on YouTube and Facebook Live and Blue Skies. So if you're missing out and you're not driving in your car, you can watch us on those formats.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm excited for my my brother, who's now a great grandfather.
Whoa!
And,
wow!
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm a great uncle, so kind of a great grandpa too. But
I heard really you were exciting. Kind of a good one, not a great one.
I'm actually pretty remarkable, actually. If you want to say, when it comes to being an uncle or a grandpa, I try to be like. You know, a good one, generous one. And you know, my kids get mad at me. They're like, you love so and so more than us, because I bought them one thing. I buy you millions of things. I'm happy. My son's older sister, I think I told you this about a month ago, had her twin baby girls. So we're looking forward to going back to Crow Creek to see them for Thanksgiving. We haven't done that for a few years. We haven't done that really since like the first year of the pandemic, I think.
Mm.
You know, things just shift and change. The pandemic sort of kind of messed everybody's cadence of their life up, I think, for a while. But before that, we would go back every year for Thanksgiving to Crow Creek, and we would see their family, their grandma and their sisters, and just spend time with family there, back at their Dakota home. Well, this is their homeland, but they go back and see their Dakota family. And then, and one of the things I loved about that was that, you know, two things. One is that on Thanksgiving, we were spending time with their family. And I think I told you this as well, and that we adopted my partner and I adopted our sons, our twin boys, from their mother, who was my partner's first cousin, and she passed away on Thanksgiving Day. And so it's kind of always been a bittersweet thing. But I'm really excited to go back and make this a different experience, where we're going back and we're celebrating life and we're celebrating the new babies, and I can't wait to hold them. And I told people, I was like, oh, it's like being a grandpa, because I'm going to spoil the hell out of them. So.
That's nice. Our grandson is pretty heavy, so my shoulders, I think of my grandsons all week, even when I don't see him, because my shoulders are burning.
Oh, wow. Are you carrying him up there, or what are you doing?
Big boy. No, just lifting him like from the ground up, you know. Yeah.
He's like 98th percentile or something like that.
They're 15 months.
15 months, okay.
Yeah.
And they're running around.
They're running around, yes. They're running around, and they're getting into everything. And
the good thing is, little Bobby thinks I'm funny, and I appreciate a good audience, as you know.
Yeah. He'll come to his senses at some point.
Oh, he definitely prefers him, Robert, over me.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I said, he'll come to his senses. Yeah.
he might be 8 or 9 years old before he figures out that Wendy's the gift giver, and I'm just like, oh yeah, sign my name on that.
That's funny. So one of the things I was going to tell you, and I forgot to text you this, and I just remembered, at some point earlier, like maybe a few hours ago, I think earlier, like you mentioned it last night to my sons, and I forgot all about it. I remembered like maybe a few hours ago, but. I turned 40 years sober today, October 27th.
Wow.
You turned 40, I think, last month? So, like, are we like a month?
November 9th. I'm November 9th.
November 9th.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So
I'm hot on your heels.
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to tell this lady who was sober in December, that when I'd get my medallion, I would say she kept me sober another year because I never wanted her to have more sobriety than me.
That's a good.
Wow, that's good. Congratulations. That's really amazing.
You.
And really something. Really, it is. It's really a miracle.
It really is
a miracle.
It is a miracle. I was telling my sons about it, and I said, like, and I don't know, I think I told you this. I don't know if I should have told you this. So the niece that did the mural, we were in Florida together last, like in August. We went down there to see my other niece, Calusa, who is in the process of dealing with colon cancer. She was. We went down there to visit her and spend time with her. We brought her medicines and spent some time with family and just, to try to do all the things. To support her. But when we were at that, we had an Airbnb and it had a poolside, pool, an outside pool right outside the back door. And it was a block from the beach, or a couple. But one night we were sitting out and I said, oh, what is this? Cut water? I think it's cut water. I thought I grabbed it and took a drink of it because I thought it was just like bubbly water, like a bubbly. And I took a big old swig of it, and then like literally my head was like, I was like, what is this? Did you, because she said, oh yeah, I should try it. And I said, and I tried it, and I didn't realize it had alcohol in it. It doesn't say it, in big letters on the can, alcoholic beverage. So
yeah.
Oh no.
I was like, but I had this feeling like my head was like burning, like I had this feeling in my head, and I was like, oh my God. And so then I teased her. I was like, well, I was almost 40 years sober until today.
Yeah. it's time to, at the races there, right. Yeah, we could talk over and over about accidentally drinking other people's drinks and going, you know what? This has alcohol in it. I remember.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
News, I'm Stephanie Officer.
Jamaica continues bracing itself for Hurricane Melissa. The slow-moving Category 5 storm is expected to arrive sometime overnight. Jamaica's Minister of Labor and Social Security, Purnell Charles Jr., tells ABC's Marcus Moore.
The Prime Minister has also declared evacuation orders, which means it's not a suggestion. It is a directive to save your life, to remove yourself from communities that are extremely vulnerable.
In California, a San Bernardino County sheriff's deputy was killed and a dramatic motorcycle chase resulted in a major crash on the 210 freeway today after officers responded to a domestic violence call. Deputy Andrew Nunez died at the scene after being shot once in the head. The suspect later taken into custody, according to Sheriff Shannon Dykus.
The suspect left the area on a motorcycle and subsequently was pursued by our deputy sheriffs with aerial support overhead.
This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
The Packers defeat the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers came back in the second half to win 35-25 over the Steelers. Wide receiver Christian Watson had four catches for 85 yards in his first game back after suffering a torn ACL in January. The defense sacked Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers three times. Micah Parsons.
Guys made plays when we had to make plays, which was huge, and we need that. We need that every week. It's great to have Christian back, honestly, and just everyone else just coming in. Like, I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the guys. Everyone who felt like they was having a bad game, like, we just rallied around each other.
NBA, the Bucks suffered their first loss of the season, 118-113 in Cleveland to the Cavaliers.
You know, it's so funny. We shoot the ball so well. I just thought we missed shots we made. And then the fouls, I thought, were the difference in the game.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lots to report from the weekend box office, including a new champ from the world of anime. Chainsaw Man the movie came in first place with $17 million at the gate. The animated film tells the story of a man who was almost killed by the Yakuza until he was saved by his dog, forcing them to become one, thereby creating Chainsaw Man. The film received a 96% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes and 99% audience score. Coming in second place in its second week of release was last week's champ, Black Phone 2, which pulled in $13 million at the box office. Despite bad reviews, newcomer Regretting You pulled in 12.5 mil, which was good for third place for the drama. Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere finished in fourth place in its opening weekend with $9 million, which was a bit below expectations. And it was Tron Aris in its second week that pulled in just under $5 million, which was good for fifth place at the gate. If you get a chance, see a movie called Truth or Treason. Really solid film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky for tonight and a low in the upper 30s. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, a slight shower chance, highs in the mid-50s. Then we're back into sunshine on Wednesday, highs again in the mid-50s. Dry through the rest of the work week. It's 46 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please.
Something.
Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, childcare remains a big issue in Wisconsin, around the country. Corrine Hendrickson will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth.
And you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, Wendy, can you give us an old school, like the old days when I forced you to be on the show every day? Didn't you used to do this portion's brought to you by or supported by?
Sure. This portion
you can
of,
just make one
well,
up. Make it up for Saltdale or something.
Is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis.
Honoring
health and tradition.
Ooh, that was good. That was off the top of your head. I always liked that tagline. Hey, and we have Dr. Stately with us. And we do not want to minimize your accomplishment of 40 years of continuous sobriety, which is huge. And I've, in the last few years, when I get my medallion, I always thank my family. I thank the creator. And then I thank myself because I was a big part of it. And I have to remember that, you know, we'd probably be dead if we didn't do some certain things. So congratulations again, Dr. Stately.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have been dead probably if I hadn't gotten sober. I was like, had already like burned up some, you know, like a cat with 9 lives. I think I was on my 10th.
Yeah. And then you did a geographical cure. You moved to California right when you sobered up, right? Isn't that how your story is?
Yeah. I moved to California. And I think a big part of that was because I was, I was 23 when I got clean. I was like very young. But I had started drinking, I think. I started trying it when I was 11. I think by the time I was maybe 13, like the year I started high school, I was probably pretty actively, you know, drinking with friends and going to parties and drinking with my brothers and sisters and the older friends. So it's pretty like, you know, the first time I tried to get clean was when I think I was about 17, maybe 18 years old. So like for a good 5 years between the time I was 18 to 23, I was actively trying to quit. I was going to make a post on my Facebook page, and I just got busy last night with, like, you know, life, dad, cleaning up the kitchen, shutting down the kitchen at 12:30. And then they're like, then they come in and they want me to make them some snacks before they go to bed. The whole thing.
So I wish you lived closer. I wish you lived closer because I'd love to be a neighbor and stop by for some snacks.
My mother would have told me, help, you know where the kitchen is and you know where the refrigerator is and you have a door to open up the refrigerator door. That's what I would have, what my mother would have said to me.
That's probably, I mean, I have said that to them. I'm like, you know what to do? It's like fry an egg. Go fry an egg. It's like, oh, I want some taco meat. They're just like, you know, they're, you know, this generation of teenagers is like a whiny bunch. That's just my thing. a whiny bunch. But I was like doing that, so then I forgot. But I was thinking like, oh, what would I say in my post? Like, you know, 40 years ago today, I wrapped my car around a light pole on 29th and Lindale, which is like, I barely survived that car accident. I woke up in the hospital the next day and, you know, I think I told you the story before, like I could hear an actual voice when I woke up out of my stupor. Like I heard this voice say, like, you know, if you drink again, you're going to die. And I turned and looked because it sounded like an actual person standing behind me. So I was looking and there was nobody there. And then a couple minutes later, my mom and my sister walked through the door of my room, my hospital room, and my mom took one look at me. I was kind of all busted up and my car was a mess. And she had seen the condition of the car. So I think she knew how lucky I was to be alive, and seeing me in that condition, she just kind of fell to her knees and started crying. And I was like, and then, you know, my sister was like, you're killing our mother. I hope you know. And I was like, and I was like, you know how they say in AA, like, I remember like when I was much younger, I would hear people say like, you know, you have to want this for yourself, do this for yourself. And I think that that's probably true. But I think at that point in my life, I really couldn't want it for myself. I was, that voice that spoke to me mm-hmm. was, shocking. And then the experience of seeing my mom and her pain. Mm. And I stopped that day. I never picked up a drink ever again.
Wow.
And it was like, I could see what I was doing to my mom and the harm I was causing and hurting her and, hurting my family. And I didn't want to do that anymore. And, I just prayed for the strength. I put out tobacco and thanked Creator for, I think I told you that I asked my sister to go and get the stuff from my car.
Mm.
And whatever I had left in the car. And she came back and she said, the only thing that was in your car was a bunch of beer cans and this, and this braid of sage that was sitting in the back of your car in the rear view. And so ever since that time, I've always kept either sweetgrass or sage in my car, like it's in the front dash. Right. Mm-hmm. Now I have some legal feathers there too, but I've done that ever since I got clean and sober, and I've had a car every single time. I would carry medicines with me in the car because I wanted that protection.
Yeah.
I moved to California at 23 years old with no job, no money, $100 in my pocket. I sold everything I had for a plane ticket and moved there mostly because I looked around my community and my family and all of my friends, everybody I knew at that point in my life. What we typically do as alcoholics or drug addicts is our fortress is all the people around us that look exactly like us, right?
So
we normalize what we're doing, right? And that, yes. I looked around and I was like, everybody I knew drank and used drugs. Like one of the last times I remember driving some friends of mine to like the saloon, and I was like, they're shooting up in my back seat, and I was like, I had this moment of clarity, was like, I am going to die if I stay here because I won't have any other choice. And so I went and hung out with some friends in California, my ex-partner in California. He took me to an AA meeting, and this gay AA meeting in Hollywood, California, on Saturday night. It was the Saturday before Valentine's Day in 1986. And I was stunned at the stories that people were sharing. They were sharing remarkably painful stories, but laughing, and they were alive. And I was like, I can live here. I can live among these people. And, they were all very welcoming. I was a brand new face, and I was like, they were all very welcoming, and I felt instantly at home. Right. So I came back from my vacation, and I was like, I'm moving there. And
wow.
I don't know how I'm going to get there, but, I was running away from something as much as I was running to something. And I'm grateful for it. It really did change my life. I think I was privileged and blessed to be able to have a new life and the opportunity to create a new life.
I had
person. I would have had that if I had stayed.
Yeah, I had a person tell me I was the most important person there when I went to my first AA meeting. So whenever there's a brand new person, I tell them that too, because it's true. The newcomers are lifeblood. I remember loaning my car to my poor dad, my poor sweet dad, and him turning sharp turns with my big Chevy Impala and all the beer cans coming from underneath those big seats. Do you remember those? Remember that big car? It's like, oh my God.
It's a special kind of music.
Yeah. Yeah. Clink, clang. Blatt's cream ale, cream ale express or something. I don't remember. Blatt's. Get the Blatt's every night. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, how is the clinic? I was telling Wendy about the clinic during the break. Where are we at? This is amazing.
We just finished the third floor, I think. They just, they went away for 3 days and 4 days, worked from home, and came back, and, the whole third floor looks like it's almost all done. Wow. So they're starting to work on the fourth floor, I think, here next week. And, it's kind of exciting. We're in a mad rush to get, the whole thing done before the first snow flies, which is going to probably be any time now within the next 3 weeks possibly. So sure. If we can get a floor done a week, then we'll be okay. But then we'll be working on the internal part of the building, right? Like doing all the framing and all that stuff for the housing components, which I'm super excited about. People are getting excited about the housing, and they're asking us, like, when are you going to start, taking names for the housing? And great. So we're in the process of doing all those things, and the clinic will also start working on the internal, building up the internal clinic spaces. And it's remarkable to come to work, and it's right there in the parking lot, so I see it every single day I walk past it. And it's just a really wonderful experience to see it come to life. It's like a thing we've been working on for years now, five years.
Make sure your office has a little closet so you can meditate, a little meditation room. I've run into those. It's very, very cool where you can just
We're going to have a space for all of our staff to, like, a quiet space for them to go to.
Yes, yes.
A self-care room where they can meditate and they can pray and then get some quiet time.
Yes.
Ironically enough, I'm not going to have an office in that building.
That's irony. So you won't be locked down. You can work from home too. Oh wow!
No, not even just that. It's like we're trying to use all of the space intentionally, and like we're also really conscientious of we have to share space, right? Leadership doesn't mean an office in a corner office with a big old window. Yeah. Leadership means you have to give opportunity, you got to give space, and my job is not to sit in the corner office of a building. My job is to be out and about with the clinic, in the community, working with partners. My job is to sort of like have an understanding of like what the community needs. So I got to be outside, and I got to be working with our partners, and I got to be in the clinic, moving around, talking to staff and spending time with them.
That's awesome. Yeah. Wendy, you were in a wide open office when you were at the
U. Yeah, we had a shared collaboration space where nobody had their own desk. But it's so funny. It's like human nature. Everybody sat at the same desk every day. It's just human nature. It just happens that way. Yeah.
I love it. That's how I work now. I share an office with three other people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Great conversations. We laugh. Yep. We do a lot of collaborative work together.
That's perfect.
I love the work.
We're here with Dr. Stately and Wendy Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Are you a Metro Transit rider? Join the Free Riders Club and let your voice be heard. Our motto is Transit Voices United, and when you become a member, you'll participate more closely in decision-making, plus earn the opportunity for exclusive merchandise at Metro Transit events. Help improve your transit system. We value your opinion. Join at metrotransit.org/ridersclub and start being rewarded today. That's the Riders Club at metrotransit.org/ridersclub.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
A reminder to anyone who rides Metro buses. That means the A, B, C, D, gold, orange, or red lines. Remember to pay your fare before you get on. Either buy a ticket at your station's ticket machine, tap your go-to card or pass to the reader at the station, or activate a ticket on the Metro Transit app. Have your proof of payment ready to show to trip agents if asked, or risk getting a citation. Thank you for your continued riding with Metro Transit.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our United States and Canadian wolves and bears. Say no to the hunts.
Let's go get some picnic baskets. Oh, isn't that what a bear says?
That's what Yogi says.
Yeah. Hey, boo-boo. Hey. Hey, boo-boo. Let's go get some picnic baskets. That's it for my impressions. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately and Wendy Pilot and kind of reminiscing about the bad old days of pre-recovery and also how great this clinic's going to be on Franklin Avenue. And it's interesting, Dr. Stately, I was thinking too when you were talking earlier how much Franklin Avenue's changed since you left. And, you know, there were so many bars and things like that back in the day.
Yeah, I was like on a panel this last week. We were, Hennepin County had an opioid sort of like listening session. And I was on that panel because there were Hennepin County contracted organizations providing opioid use disorder prevention and intervention services in the community. And one of the questions they were asking was like, to talk about, what they see different. And I talked about how when I was 23, I went away and the avenue looked very different. And when I came back in 2009, when my sons were just 2 years old and I was moving back to the community because I had to come home because like I couldn't raise twin boys on a professor's salary. That was quite crazy. And so we came back and I remember the first time I came to Minneapolis after moving back and just driving down the avenue and how different it was. When I lived here, there were like five bars within a 3-block radius,
right?
Of one another. And, I had little chairs that were mine.
With your name on it.
Probably with my name on it or something on it. but, my little resting spots. And, the native, the Indian Center looked different and the whole entire avenue looked different at that point. I came back and how different it was. And there were two things that really stood out to me. And I said this in that specific community listening session. I said, I was surprised at what how differently the avenue was. I said, and where I'm at today is like, I'm disheartened and I'm a little unsettled by like the conditions that our community is in now, because the things that my mother's generation and the generation before them fought for and worked hard to do to dismantle, to get rid of those bars and chase them all out and to get to create all these organizations and those kinds of things. Was really like quite remarkable. And one of the things I said in that thing was, I said, because the commissioners or some of the people from Hennepin County were like, what would you tell the county to do? Like, how can we help you? And I said, what I'll tell you is like some of the things we talked about on this panel today are the programs and the things that we're doing with the resources you gave us are quite remarkable. We're like, IPTF talked about how the things that they've been doing with the Keep the Fire Alive program, the internships they do with young people, 16, 17, 18, all the way up to 24, getting them internships in local community organizations where they can learn about their community, they can feel connected, they can feel like they have a role that's important that contributes to like their community, how important that is to building their identity and their sense of self and their sense of belonging. That's the antidote to sort of addiction, right? Is like helping them to understand like they have a place, they belong. That's one of the most important things. And of course, the work that NAC is doing in sort of some of the harm reduction and the workforce development areas. And I said, what you could do is you could give us the money and get the hell out of our way and let us do what we know works, because we've been taking care of ourselves and building community since the beginning of time. I said, and I wanted to remind everybody in this room that some of the biggest things that have ever happened in Indian country, from any education to the freedom of the freedom of
religion.
Medicines or our religion, the Indian Child Welfare Act, some of those things that happened, that became national movements started here. American Indian movements started here within a group of Native women, some of those my relatives, that were just had enough about oppression and racism and the harm that it was causing our young men. So like, we have everything it takes to take care of our community in our DNA, in our blood, in our blood memory. We can do this. And what you need to do is give us the resources to do the things that we know work and get out of our way. And giving us the resources is important because we're in the situation that we're in with the scale of the opioid crisis and with the scale of houselessness and all these things, because you have not just lacked making investments in the communities for the last 40 or 50 years, you've actually extracted resources from the community. And so we're in the conditions we are in because of the way that you've treated us.
Yeah, amen to that. Gosh, we're really lucky to have one Dr. Stately on our show, Wendy, but also talking that way in the community. And it's really interesting. Wendy's been out of the, well, she hasn't been working in 5 years, right, Wendy? But we've heard about Dr. Stately through all these different venues that, you know, that you're well known. And so we're really blessed to have you on here. And the community clinic's really blessed to have your leadership. So I just wanted to say that, it's amazing, amazing what you just said there.
It really is. Oh, really.
Thank you. That was the Elaine Stately in me that came out in that conversation.
Oh, very nice.
You know, I like, I'm, you know, I am the man that my mother made. So, I don't take any credit for that. So.
That's beautiful.
You know, with all these babies around and your new babies born and the families, I worry because of the people who are not getting measles vaccines or even the flu shot. I mean, you know, these babies are so vulnerable and their immune systems are not established yet. And I think I just want everybody to get their vaccinations if they're going to be around these young, vulnerable babies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm like, you know, one of the goals for NAC is to increase the vaccination rates in our community.
That's great.
It's going to be a challenge given some of the conditions that we're sort of living under right now with all the cuts to Medicaid and that wackadoodle and healthcare and human services. It's just like, you know, the confusion that they cause by like no vaccines or these vaccines, like, it's actually absolutely crazy making. And like, by taking it off the schedule, by taking a vaccine off the schedule and saying it's not critically important, what you basically do is you give Medicaid and insurance companies the authorization to not have to cover it, right?
Exactly.
So what's going to happen for poor people, like in our community, and poor people who are so many of my members of my family are you know, way below 200 percent poverty level and below, those people will struggle to try and get their children covered by vaccines and have the protections of those things. Whereas like if you're wealthy and you're white and privileged or live in other areas and you have private insurance or you have the capacity to pay for those things, you'll be okay. You and your family will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like the problem with these conditions that are happening, but people just don't realize. And sadly, a huge number of the people that live in the Dust Bowl and the Sun Belt, those people are poor white people who are also going to suffer, and they're going to they're going to really regret the fact that they elected that man president because he's not keeping in his promises.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Dr. Stately, I just want, and Wendy, I want to thank for the reunion show. We got the band back together and Wendy. Dr. Stately. What? Yeah.
We're just we're just like, I don't know, which band? American band.
The Beatles? No. Hey.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay. Then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 60...
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Forecasters say Hurricane Melissa is on track to be the worst storm to ever hit Jamaica. Conditions will start deteriorating tonight and into tomorrow. Melissa is a Category 5 storm with maximum sustained winds of 175 miles per hour and could bring storm surge more than a dozen feet high. ABC's Ika Jachi is in Kingston.
Mandatory evacuations have been issued. All of the airports, all of those international airports here in Jamaica around have been closed. The seaports here are closed, and officials are begging Jamaicans to leave those low-lying areas, those coastal areas, and get to areas of higher ground.
A Norway spruce from upstate New York has been selected as this year's Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. The 75-footer will be cut down November 6th, just outside of the state capital, Albany. It'll be wrapped in more than 50,000 multicolored LED lights and crowned with a 900-pound Swarovski star. The tree illuminates December 3rd. This is ABC News.
Farm news that